Compromise leads to destruction. Compromise leads us, when we compromise in ways and we give in to the pull of the flesh, and we give in to that compromise, and we take one step, and then we take another step. And the thing about compromise, you know, when Hitler started in the early 30s, he didn't start with, we're going to kill 6 million Jews. First of all, they were declassified. They were not full people. They didn't have the rights. And piece by piece, they were marginalized. And pretty soon, the people thought of them not as equals. And not long after that, they thought of them different as humans. And that they needed to be dealt with. And the final solution made sense. Why? Because compromise had been made and steps taken down this path to where you find yourself in a place, how in the world did I get here? How do 6 million Jews get murdered? And how does it take the rest of the world so long to say, stop? Because compromise. Because of compromise. And compromise leads to destruction. It goes on in verse 13 to say, yet you remain true to my name. Yet you remain true to my name. You see, in his appraisal, the Lord assesses the strength of the church, and he says, you've remained true to my name. They have refused to budge on their view of Jesus. Many people were saying, well, Jesus, he's just a man. He's a teacher. He's from God. He's not God. And this church, even though they were compromising, where they didn't compromise was on the name of Jesus right away. You remain true to my name. They saw him as fully God and fully man, which is the correct orthodox teaching. It's the true theology. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is only one way to know God, because Jesus is God. You guys know we went over the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God, in perfect unity with himself. We went over in another series, who is Jesus? Jesus is Lord. He is God himself. When you hold to the teachings, there's blessings that come. This was one area that they had held to the teaching. Against all the corrupting influences around them, the people had held to that truth, that Jesus is Lord. Second, it says they did this at the risk of their own lives. It says, you did not renounce your faith in me, even in the day of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city where Satan lives. Back to where Satan lives, back to the seat of Satan. What is it saying? Antipas means against all. And he was the first martyr that we know of under the Roman persecution in Asia. Now, this is from non-biblical history, but it talks about him being the first martyr there. History says that he was roasted to death in a bowl that was heated till it was white hot, till it was extremely hot. And he was heated in this bowl, and he was sacrificed. And that's the same place where he was sacrificed is the same place in the remake of it of where Hitler gives his speeches. See, we do leave a legacy. Actions have consequences. What we do today affects tomorrow. What we do today in the church affects tomorrow. Not just in our homes, not just in our own actions, but in the church itself. That is there's a price that has to be paid. And when we hold to the doctrine of who Jesus is, that's a blessing. But when we compromise, and we bring other teachings in, and we're going to talk about how that happened. Verse 14, nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Do you guys recognize? Do you guys recognize this is the third church, right? Do you recognize the way that Jesus is speaking to all the churches? This is what you're doing right? Guys, by the way, this is what you're doing wrong. And it needs to change, or there's going to be a consequence. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. I do not want to hear Jesus say that about me, but he's had that conversation with me. Matthew, hello. We're here again. Do we really need to go over this again? You know in your heart what's right. I read from the Word of God and I'm cut to the quick. I know things have to change. Have you been there? Where God is speaking to you through His Word? Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to entice the Israelites into sin so that they ate food sacrificed to idols and committed sexual immorality. The Lord assesses the strengths of the church, and now he comes with this. First, you remain in my name. He talks about the positive, but here he comes up with what they were doing wrong. Balak, Balaam. Two terrible errors were made here. One is the teaching of Balaam. If we go back to Numbers, I think it's chapters 22 through 25 in Numbers. Balaam was the false prophet who had been hired by Balak, the king of Moab, to curse Israel. But when he was hired to curse them, he found out something. God wouldn't let him curse them. Every time he opened his mouth to curse them, blessings came out. You wonderful person! You great people of God! What? He was hired to bring curses on him. But every time he opened his mouth, blessings rang out. Imagine the frustration. I gotta make my bucks. But every time he tries to come, the curses aren't allowed. So what does he do? He's got to figure out a way to bring a curse on the people. And he can't do it by the curse of his mouth. So in order to achieve the end for which he had been hired, he paid beautiful women from Moab and Midian to parade before the young men of Israel and to entice them, tempt them into sexual immorality. And so these women come, and because these women were worshipers of idols, that was the means to bring the people into idol worship. As they go for the lust of the flesh, then they take the women in, and then they start following these false idols. These false gods start coming into their home. So Balaam corrupted and enticed them into sin. Satan is always working at enticing us to come in, to give in a little. If he can't get us with the first, if we're spared from that initial thing and the curse is taken from the mouth, the enemy works around another way. He's going to come at us one way or another. And when we experience victory in one way, be careful about being flanked from the back. Be careful about the enemy doesn't give up just because we were successful the first time. Because God was moving and we were in his blessing. Guys, as we honor God more and more, as we do what God calls us to do as a church body, guess what? We get a bigger target painted on us. You want to have a smaller target on you? Guess what? Accomplish nothing. Don't grow. Now, guys, am I saying don't grow so you don't have... No, I'm saying we are on the side that is victorious already. It doesn't matter how big the target is that's on us. We already have victory. So the only thing that the enemy can do is attack us with lies about who we are. and try to convince us that the worst of what we do is who we are. But we are children of God. If you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. You have gone from death to life. You are His, transformed by Him. Nothing can change that, not even death. Not even sin. We face, guys, I really believe we face a similar enticement, temptation. The spirit of Balaam. And we need to talk about it in the church. Pornography is running rampant over our people. It used to be something that affected only or mostly men. And now it's something that girls and boys are being introduced at very early ages. The percentages are mind-boggling. I did not put them up there because they bother me too much. The numbers are so great of the percentage of what percentage of our boys and girls at young ages. And it's this lie from the pit of hell. It's this coming around, not, it doesn't work, so we'll come around here. We'll find a weakness. We'll find an area of attack. And the enemy does. It's the error, it's the sin of Balaam. Verse 15 and 16. Likewise, you also have those who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, otherwise I will soon come to you and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. They were being introduced, they were also being seduced by the error of not just Balaam, but they had another error that was coming in, another false teaching. The Nicolaitans, the name means conquerors of the people. Conquerors of the people. It appears that they claim to have, the Nicolaitans claim to have a special relationship with God. They were spiritually superior. So if you can't get them from the sexual area, from I'm not going to give in to that temptation, now he's feeling pretty good that he didn't give in to the temptation of lust. So hit him with the idea, there's a reason he didn't give in to the temptation. He's superior. You see, Satan comes, he'll hit us from every side he can. If we're doing well, he hits us in our pride. If we're struggling, he keeps bringing the temptation in. They profess to be the beneficiaries of a special intimate revelation that God didn't give to others, just to the Nicolaitans. They had an inside track with God. They presume to take the place of the priesthood in Judaism. They wanted to be the ones who were in charge of worship. The lie, this lie, this spirit, affected the church so strong, in such a strong way. At the beginning of the church, what happens to the church after just a few years of the disciples going? The church starts becoming really focused on those who lead the church and the power of those. And pretty soon, guess what? The people in the sitting here, you're not allowed to have scripture. You're not professionals. Scripture is not, a matter of fact, if you're caught with scripture, you can be killed or punished. And it became illegal for the average person to have scripture because they weren't able to handle it. They didn't have that special blessing. Guys, I call that the spirit of the Nicolaitans, a false spiritual pride. We still see it in the church today, don't we? Guys, praise God, we have a church that is led by elders. That is biblical. There are a number of places in the Word of God where it teaches about how to lead a church, and it's not by the pastor. It's not that your pastor knows and has a special connection with God. And he's the professional and you are not. So therefore, listen to your pastor. That's also a lie from the pit of hell. It is a position of leadership. It's one of the elders. It's a teaching elder, as the scripture puts it. But you have a leadership. Why? Because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. We're not built to handle success. We start feeling it. We start becoming the reason for the success. How often do we see in sports the team that wins it all, that was this young team that was hungry, and then a few years later, what are they? Yeah, but they're not winning anymore. I'm not making a reference to the Seahawks, just so you know. Yeah, let's go to San Francisco. Is Antonius here? Let's go to San Francisco. Guys, we need to be careful with this spirit of, it's about me. I have a special connection with God. And in church leadership, pray for us. We need to be so careful of this. There needs to be humility in leadership. We need to not have this spirit of arrogance, of spiritual arrogance, come in. And guys, I promise you one thing. Without prayer and without the truth of the Word of God coming in and without accountability and without fellowship, it will happen. It does happen. No one is above it. Jesus said, repent, otherwise I will come to you. And there'll be consequences. The appropriate response to all of this, as we see from so many other places in Scripture, is repent. Repent of your sin. Guys, if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with lust, if you're struggling with desiring something that you don't have, the appropriate response is, first of all, welcome to the club. We're all struggling with that. Not one of us is above it. Not one. And if somebody says they're above lust, they're lying. If they're healthy and normal, we struggle with lust, but we don't have to be ruled by it. We don't have to be ruled. And with power. With authority, even spiritual authority. The enemy comes in, tries to disrupt and disturb. We know how it worked out for East Berlin. We know how it worked out for the world. See, there's consequences to sin. At the end of his letter to the church of Pergamum, the Lord gives a special promise to them and to us, guys. I was thinking about originally doing this next week, but I felt like, you know what, let's just finish with it. This morning as I was praying, it felt like God was saying, just do verse 17. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it, known only to the one who receives it. I love this, guys. Manna was a food from heaven that was sent down and given to Moses to feed the people of Israel in the wilderness. God provided. It says in John 6, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Jesus speaking. Guys, Jesus is the hidden manna. Jesus is the one we feed on. Jesus is the one we go to. We don't have to thirst or hunger again. It's the kind of filling that is for eternity. The hidden manna. And then it says, I will also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it. What in the world is he talking about? White stone. Well, the Romans of John's time used a white stone as a special, a mark of special favor. The white stone represented a mark of special favor. And he's saying, a new name on it. What's he saying? You know what? I'm giving you a new name. You were dead, now you're alive. I'm giving you a new name. What's also implied with a new name? Intimacy. You ever met somebody that, with everybody in public, call them something? And then for the friends, the people that person knows, it's common amongst famous people. They'll be referred to by this, but if you really know them. Sinatra, what was Sinatra's nickname? I forget. What was it? Blue Eyes? There was a special name that just his closest friends called him. Why? There was an intimacy. There was a connection. You know, one of the things that's talked about as we talk about going back and looking to the man and looking to the things is, as I think about it, Jacob stole a blessing, but he pursued God. When he pursued God, he wanted the blessing. Remember, Jacob, he stole it. Made a deal with his brothers, gave him some food, and took it. And why? Because he was a wheeler and dealer. And so he goes in to fool his dad, and he pretends to be his brother to receive the fake blessing. But he wants a blessing for himself, and he is blessed. But he received the blessing, but he didn't have the character to handle the blessing. And he wrestles with God, and through the struggle is what? Through the struggle, what happens? A new name is given. And God says, I'm no longer going to call you Jacob. You're Israel. Israel, a new name. Guys, when there is brokenness before God, that when there is intimacy with God, there is a new name that's given. And on the white stone, a special blessing. Guys, we don't need to live as though we don't have that intimacy with God. The enemy can try and hit us from every angle and try to get us to believe we're not what we are. Try and get us to believe we are our sin. You're not your sin. You are a child of God if you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't, we are praying for you that the Holy Spirit would reveal himself through his word today. And you'd be touched and transformed by God himself. And you would believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. A new name he wants to give you. And guess what? When you come broken, just like Jacob did, just like the people of Pergamum did, God meets you and he says, I've got a special new name for you. I've got a special blessing for you. Receive it. Receive it and be blessed. Not the kind of blessing that can be taken away, eternal blessing. Praise God, guys. We are not alone. We have a God who loves us, who knows us, who's given us a new name, a new identity. The old is gone. The new is here because of what he's done for us. Will you receive it? Will you receive what Jesus has done for you? Because when you don't, the consequences don't just affect you, but they affect generations to come. The world will be blessed by us. Our community will be blessed by us. Our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren will be blessed by us. or we'll leave them a pile of junk. And guess what happens when you leave a pile of junk? The kids come in and the very things that they hated, they become. They walk into the of what they know. Can God deliver? Yes, but don't work against God for your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and for your community that stands broken and searching. Let's be a blessing. Let's give Christ. Let's give Christ. Let's not have, oh yeah, you know Skyway? That place, it's like the seat of Satan over there. Everything's a mess over there. Killing, brokenness, destruction. No, let's see God transform this place to become a light unto the world. That what the enemy wanted to destroy, God redeems through his people being a light, and transformation hits the community one at a time, one soul at a time. Guys, we've been called, and we need to respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we need a whole lot of forgiveness, because there are many things that have come into our minds and hearts, into our actions, that are not of you. Forgive us, God. We don't want to live like that anymore. We don't want to choose to sin anymore. You have provided a way for us not to sin in every area. We do not have to be ruled by sin. We do not have to be slaves to sin anymore. Forgive us of being free in Christ and living as though we're slaves to sin. God, we don't want to live according to the lie anymore. And Father, specifically in the area of lust of the flesh, in the desire to be in authority, the desire to be the one who makes the rules, the pride of our hearts, forgive us, God. And Lord, we pray for every single church in this community, for those who are teaching your word, who love you, and all the people in the churches are growing. And Lord, we pray for the churches that are not using the word of God. Lord, we ask that you would touch those who are leading those churches and that they would come to faith in you, that they would be transformed by the gospel. Lord, we pray for our country right now. We pray for our leaders, that they would be transformed by the gospel. We don't pray for this thing to be done or that thing to be done. We pray for transformation spiritually, so that unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace can come into our country and lead by following you and not men. Protect us from ourselves, Lord. God, we repent of our sin. We turn away from it. We choose you. We choose to follow you. We give you these areas of our lives that we're struggling with. We're struggling hard here, Lord. We ask for your blessing. These areas are affecting our community, bringing it down. Lord, there's freedom in you, freedom in Christ. Let us first live in freedom so that we can give away what we have, what we are experiencing daily. Bless us. And make us a blessing to many with the gospel that blesses. For your glory, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.